Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Let me read around that 46th verse by starting back at verse 44, bringing context to the whole thing. It was now the sixth hour. There was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sunlight failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances, the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Father, into your hands, commit my spirit. Sacrifice is challenging, isn't it? Whether it's your time, your resources, your talent, sacrifice is a challenge. And it's a challenge, maybe not for the reasons that most people think. Because some people in life, they're just that way, they give. You ain't gotta ask them. They just do it. When you ask them, they do more than they would even begin to expect. But for some people, if it is not in their nature to be overly giving, sacrifice is difficult. And sacrifice becomes even more difficult when you begin to recount all the times that you did it. Because everybody's going to have a moment. And I don't care how saved and sanctified you think you are. Everybody got a moment when they begin to count the times that they actually did something. You sit back, you start looking at how people are living better lives. And you know that they are living better lives because at some point God sent you by to assist them. But when you're in your time of need, ain't nobody to be found. Y'all all right? I must be all in everybody's stuff already. That's what I'll take it as. It's hard to be sacrificial when you crying at night, waiting on God to break through for you.
Yes.
It's hard to be giving when you're broke.
Yes, it is.
And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about stuff in your life is just broke.
Yes. Yes.
It's hard. I mean, certainly Jesus didn't have a hard time sacrificing, did he? Certainly, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, didn't have a difficult time. There's no way that a perfect Christ ever struggled with giving of himself. That troubling thing called a Bible shows us that at least two times within 48 hours, he had a hard time.
Yes, yes.
When he went to the garden. And those brothers could not stay up with him to pray with him. And he's struggling. He's saying, now, Father, you good at this. Just come up with another way we can get it done. If there's any other way to do it, let's do it. And of course, when we read the text, we don't expect that there was a pause because we read the text and you know how we read. You read and don't account for stuff, but I'm willing to assume there had to have been a pause at some point.
Well,
if there's another way to do this, come on, I'm all in. But after the pause, he says, not my will, but yours be done. In these seven last words, even, there was a pause of struggle.
Yes.
When he felt separated from God,
yes,
he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
Sacrifice is hard.
Yes. Yes.
But the interesting thing is, it is a necessary part of our existence. Because truthfully, if you are never reaching a place of being sacrificial, you may not be understanding what it means to follow Christ. Christ gave everything for people that wouldn't accept him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Think about that. He died the way he died for people that would just write them off and say, whatever.
Amen.
Have you ever felt that? He died for people that he blessed, and suddenly they forgot about how he blessed them.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
He died for people that he healed,
yes,
that he fed,
uh-huh,
that he taught,
yes, right,
that he clothed,
mm-hmm,
that he caused to walk, gave,
yes,
back their speech,
yes,
for them to possibly be in the crowd,
yes,
and say, crucify him.
Right.
He died for ungrateful people.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And here we come to this part, this last word, that if you sit around with a bunch of preachers and they get ready for seven last word services, which are coming up this week, like all over the city, you know, every service got the who's who or whatever. It's almost like watching the playoffs. You got to just choose which one you're going to go to. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying there's going to be a seven last word service anywhere you turn this week. All right. If you sit down with a group of preachers and talk about all seven of these words, there may be a consensus that this last one is the most difficult. I said maybe. At least for me, it's always been difficult. Because what is Jesus really saying? I mean, he done died all he can die. That's 6 hours on the cross, beaten before he got on the cross, walking with this instrument of destruction for 3 football fields. He already died all he could die. So what is he saying here? Father, into your hands, this word commit really means entrust. He's saying, after all this, I've already said it's finished. I died all I could die. And I already pronounced that I've done everything I could do. I've kept the scripture by saying it and declaring it and being prophetic. I've done all I could do. I took care of my mama. I took care of these folk. I forgave folk that don't even know what the heck they were doing. I dealt with the fact that I was separated from you. I've done all that. Now, the rest is up to you. When we tell God we entrust our spirit, we are saying that everything pertaining to our lives, pertaining to what we've done, pertaining to anything that we have done in service, any result that comes from that service, whatever, now is in God's hands. All God asked us to do was live for him. He didn't ask us to save nobody. He didn't ask us to drag nobody. He asked us to what? Lift him up and he would draw.
Yes.
So there are certain things in life that God did not ask for us to take on.
Mm.
And one of the things that I had to be reminded of this week with all that I've been through this week was that there are some things that God never asked me to carry.
Right. Well, all right.
He said, give it to me. But in order for me to give it to him, I have to be what? Willing to give it up.
Yeah.
Y'all hear?
Yeah.
Some of you in here right now are just like me. In the midst of inwardly confessing our sin of not giving over ourselves to God.
Yes.
Because we're still carrying stuff that he told us not to carry.
Yes.
We moved from being sacrificial to being full of self. We moved from being sacrificial to being full of self. Because if I can carry it, there's no need for God to do it. And if I carry it, that means all I'm looking for God to do is affirm that I did the job. But there's some things we are not meant to carry. We are meant to do everything that we can within our abilities that he's given us to just live our lives and live them in such a way that we reflect him. Watch that word, reflect. We are not God. We are to reflect, to be a reflection, to be at best a carbon copy of the Savior. So when I give myself over to him, I'm saying, whatever comes out of this is now in your hand. But I need y'all to understand, just in case you're wading through the middle of this, you're struggling with the fact that it's hard to give. You're struggling with the fact that you have given, and you're struggling with the fact that you have been disillusioned and disappointed by how people have dealt with you when you have been giving. Let me help you. Your sacrifice is powerful, and your sacrifice is necessary, and your sacrifice can literally shift an atmosphere. Being a giving person, being a person that loves God enough to do for the Lord does pay off. But you need to know the power of that witness. So here it is. The power of that witness begins with three elements. Number one, your sacrifice has to be selfless. Jesus had no ulterior motive in dying. None. The only thing that came out of this was what? That people might be saved. That's it. No other motive. The challenge that we have is, are we going to do what thus says the Lord because it's right? Or are we going to do what thus says the Lord to benefit ourselves? It's a challenge. We're in a time within the global United Methodist Church where folk are separated on the issue of doing what thus says the Lord because it's right, and doing what they think the Lord said to benefit themselves. Oh, we can talk about it on Palm Sunday. There are people that are trying to do the best they can to reach people for the kingdom of God and let folk know that God loves them and God cares about them. But there's a whole nother group of people that want to dictate to folk what they think God is about, and in turn decide that it doesn't make a difference what God actually said. It's about what I want God to say. Being selfless blesses lives. Being selfish destroys lives. Being selfless enhances lives. Being selfish only benefits those that want to be selfish. Jesus had no other motive but to be a blessing to people that had no way out. Two, the power of that sacrifice is also based upon this. That sacrifice ought to pull at the heart of God. Listen, you may not see that in the text, but let me show you where it is. When Jesus gave up his spirit, when he finished everything, something happened in the text. You know what happened in the text? You know what happened in that temple? The curtain was torn. And when that curtain was torn, it opened up the pathway between the Holy of Holies and the inner court. What's so important about that? God was showing us that what Jesus did pulled on his heart so much that it now opened up the opportunity for humanity to get access to God in a way that they had not had it since Adam. Remember, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, there was a time when humanity was able to walk with God. But when sin entered, they were no longer able to walk with God side by side. Because God can't be in the presence of sin. So Jesus dying and giving of himself now opened up the gateway to get access to God without others interfering. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father, not by those priests that were crooked in the temple, but by me. So now that he has done all this, God was so intrigued and God was satisfied that he tore down the barrier. When you are doing the best you can for God, God will begin to tear down barriers in your life. You don't believe me? I know y'all ain't been shouting since I started talking, but let's take a break and start shouting now. When you have done the best you can and you look at your circumstances left and right, there have been bills that you needed to pay, wanted to pay, and your bank account did not match up with the amount on the bill, and you said, God, how are you going to work this out? And somewhere along the line, God came through and helped you pay something where you didn't have it. Actually, probably opened up a door where somebody else paid it, and you didn't know who did it, and they said it's been paid in full. Okay, that may not be your testimony, but let's run down the list. You were sick and you didn't know why. You didn't know why you were up in a hospital room anywhere, and you didn't know why all of a sudden your whole world had turned upside down. But somewhere, somehow, God came through and healed your body, got you up off that bed, got you out of that hospital, took you back on home, and gave you a new lease on life. Am I preaching to anybody in here? There's a moment that with you will see God show up in your life.
Yes. Yes.
And bust through things that you thought were buried.
Yes.
And why? Because God knows what you're doing.
Yes.
Let me say it this way. You never have to get up and tell me or anybody else what you do. And you know why you shouldn't even have to worry about doing that? Because God has already accounted for what you've been doing. And if it's been selfless to begin with, God already knows the score. And you don't have to prove nothing to nobody that can't bless you anyway. Because when you serve the Lord with all your heart, when you serve God with everything you got, when you give God what is due unto him, think about that woman with the issue of blood. Let me talk about pulling on God. Jesus was in the crowd of thousands and asked a seemingly simple question, who touched me? And all the disciples said, everybody pushing on you. What in the world are you talking about? There's a woman that was in the crowd, had issue of blood, had been bleeding out for 12 years, shouldn't have been in the crowd to begin with, and said within herself, if I could get to the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Watch this though. It wasn't the touch of the hem, it was the faith in the woman. And Jesus stopped everything and said, where is she? Because power left my body. Where? And she showed herself. And watch what Jesus did. Jesus didn't just heal her body. He said, go, and because your faith has made you whole. When you're really serving God, God will bring some shalom, some wholeness to your life. Last thing, and I'm finished. When you're really sacrificing, when the power of that sacrifice can be summed up this way, it'll alter the perspective of others. Remember what I just said. You ain't got to say nothing about yourself. You ain't got to say two words about you. Some of y'all that have gotten to know me, some of y'all know, even to this day, I had this degree for 3 years, and even to this day, I get leery when people call me doctor. It's an earned doctorate, yes. I earned it. I sweated for it. I went through all that stuff. I drank all the caffeine to stay up to write the paper. I did all that. But I still get a little leery about it because that's not the totality of who I am. Right? So it's difficult when you're trying to do what you're supposed to do, just live. It's hard to take on stuff even when it's earned, even when it's, you know, people say you deserve it. It's hard because all I'm trying to do is live. Because at the end of the day, unless the Lord comes before, my remains will go into a box. Man. My remains will go into a box. Yes. They will dress up my remains that will be in the box. And a bunch of folk will get up and start talking about all these wonderful things about my life. I won't be here to hear them. Right? I didn't want to get morbid, but I'm trying to put some perspective on this.
That's all right.
When Jesus died, that's when the perspective of him changed. Before he died, they were gambling for his clothes. Mm-hmm. They were telling him, come on down if you that bad. They mocked him with a crown of thorns on his head. He says, you say you're king of the Jews? They put a sign on there that I hear the king of the Jews. They mocked him. But then he died, and stuff began shifting around him. And the first person in the text that had a shift was a Roman soldier. Let me give you perspective. He was a part of a people that had a polytheistic religion that served many gods, and each house could decide what God they wanted to serve. So there's power in what happened next.
Yes.
After Jesus said, take my spirit. Yes. Something happened where that soldier, the text says, praise God. If y'all in the right place, you would have shot it off that. The text says, not me, the Bible says, he praised God, and then he said, truly, this man was innocent. Another translation says, surely, he was the son of God. So keep on living, because if you live for the Lord, your life will validate what you've been about. You ain't gotta tell nobody. You ain't gotta go around and parade about who you think you are and what others think you are. Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, we are nothing more than people that were created in the image and likeness of God. We are dust at best. But God decided to give this dust a life. And if I'm nothing more than dust that has been given life, then all I need to do is live for the Lord and not for anybody else. Because if I live right, heaven's going to be mine. And if I continue to hold on and hold out and do what the Lord says to, he will reward me. But not just that, my example will be a blessing to somebody else's life. I don't want to talk to poor folk about getting rich. I want to talk about to somebody that's rich. I don't want to talk business with people that have never started a business. I need to talk to entrepreneurs. I don't want to talk to people that have never driven a car about driving a car. I need to talk to folk that have driven a car, that have been around cars, that have been around all that stuff. What am I saying? I need to know that there are people in this world that God has kept his hand on, that have gone through trouble, gone through trials, gone through tests, gone through ups, gone through downs. I need to see that there are examples of how you can make it and how you can survive. I'm trying to make it and I'm trying to survive, but I'm still around a bunch of people that act like they did it on their own. I need to know where the real saints are, the real believers that have gone through the fire, they've gone through the flood, they have suffered in public, they suffered in silence, they suffered through all that stuff, but God has still kept them. Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Well, let me tell you something. I'm glad I'm in the right place. I've found people that know that no matter what you go through, God will take care of you. That no matter what you face in life, God will fight your battles. I'm glad I'm in the right place where God will continue to keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. So don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season, you're going to reap if you faint not. Keep on pushing, because your witness is going to shift the atmosphere. Somebody ought to say yes.